Welcome. You're listening to sermons and talks from Providence Church in Brisbane. We believe that God speaks to us through his word, the Bible. So we pray that as you listen, you'll be encouraged and challenged to love Jesus and live for him. For more information about Providence Church, please visit our website, www.providencechurch.com.au.
Heavenly Father, we do pray as we gather this morning that you'll still our hearts and you'll clear our minds and prepare our hearts to receive your word. May you speak to us today through your spirit. May you help us to understand the teachings of Christ, but more than just understand it, be convicted of it so that we can live a life that honors and pleases you. We pray for this now in your son's name. Amen. There's a growing trend on social media about young people sharing how they worry really about doing everyday things in life, and they're hashtagging it social anxiety. Some of the articles I've come across, they're scared to order in restaurants. Gen Z suffers from menu anxiety when dining out, with many too scared to order their own meals. They struggle to sit in cafes alone. They struggle to ask for directions even, or ask for help in a supermarket. Reddit has forums about this, where teenagers, young adults, are sharing about how they're afraid of the real world and they're more comfortable online. One study showed that Gen Z are developing a fear of phone calls, or phone phobia. This is an interesting one, where they don't want to speak on the phone. They avoid as much as possible. They'd rather text you back rather than call you back. There's another one here. This is a social media video. POV, point of view. You can't speak to anyone on the phone without being nervous, right? And so there are lots of videos about this where people are sharing their anxieties about just everyday life things. I find this really interesting because we have a lot of Gen Z members in our church, and I totally get this. I need to text before I call. And I'm okay with that. You know, I feel that way sometimes too. I like some warning as well. But I'm not Gen Z, but we do live our lives online now, don't we? Where words can be edited and pictures filtered, and where shopping or ordering food means you don't have to talk to another human being. We can, you know, get through life without having to worry about what people think about us, because we've edited our lives online. It's tragic. Because of this, there's an uptick in anxiety and fear, because we now do, this is how we live now. So as a response, there's a growing number then of social media influencers motivating and empowering young people with captions like, do the scary thing and do it scared, right? They're trying to empower you. This one is a woman who says, yeah, doing the things you're afraid of to show you it's okay. And she makes videos of herself stepping into an elevator alone, or going to a cafe alone, whatever, shopping in a supermarket alone. You know, all these clips that she does to help others overcome their worries and anxieties. Now, some of these things, you know, might not be things that you worry about at all. You're not in the social media world, you're not of that generation, or you don't just feel those things. But you and I, we do worry, don't we, about things. We get anxious about things, and as much as social anxiety is a real thing for some people, we need to consider, how do we actually approach this topic? We should be concerned about the rising levels of anxiety, not just in young people, but for all people in today's world. What I'm observing in everyday life is there's always, that every person has a level of worry in their lives, a level of anxiety that we experience, regardless of our generation. They're just different things that we worry about. We might worry about what people think about us. We might worry about how to reply to someone on the phone, being put on the spot. But in a deeper sense, others will worry about reputation, our status, the need for significance. Others will worry about finding love or loneliness, those things that will consume our thoughts and emotions and make us anxious. We might worry about our security, our finances, which we'll talk about soon, buying a house or having enough money to pay the bills. We worry about these things, don't we? Worry and anxieties, they plague us all the time, regardless of our generation. And so where can we find this a sense of peace and security in these moments? Jesus today wants us to point our hearts to a greater narrative to find our peace in. Not chasing after what the world tells us to, but to find a security that we all deeply need in him. Now, I want to acknowledge before I go on, there is a type of anxiety which is a chemical thing. It requires medication. There are times where we should see therapists, and we should accept that as a good gift from God. God gives us good psychologists and medication if we need those things. But there are worries and anxieties as well that plague all of us. And I believe the Bible has a lot of truth to tell us, to counsel us on these things. You know, the biblical counseling that comes to us from God's word, which we can anchor our souls in, as we think through our worries. So Jesus is here and he's continuing on in his Sermon on the Mount with covering this very topic. And to do that, he takes on the topic of money and possessions. That's the first thing, because it's a universal thing that causes anxiety for everyone, whatever culture, whatever generation you're in. It's been a few weeks, but Jesus has given a series of statements in chapter 5 and 6 up to this point that really teach us what it means to live the new life of being a Christian, a follower of Jesus. If he is king in our lives, we call him Lord and Savior. This is how we're to live. So that, you know, that's why we've titled the series, Live the New Life. From verse 19 then, let's read it together again. I'll read it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. We hear this passage. You might have heard this passage if you've grown up in church before, and especially this part about serving God and money. But he wants us to think about how we view our stuff, how we view our finances. He says, do not store up treasures on earth. Why? Because these things are temporary. These things will ultimately decay. They can be stolen. They can disappear. I imagine in our world today, yeah, we have things like security cameras, crime safe doors. But back then, they didn't have those things. They would be worried about getting broken into. They would be worried about, what do we worry about? Dropping our new phones or staining our new couches, whatever those things are. And we worry about these things because we store them up and they're treasures to us, don't we? We do that. We do need to buy new stuff. You know, of course, we do need to buy things to replace old stuff, broken, unsafe stuff. But how much value, I think Jesus is saying, how much value are we placing on our possessions? How much do we spend our time on focusing on our money or our investments, trying to build up enormous wealth because, well, everyone else is doing it? Because social media tells us to do it. Because everyone says, get onto this new investment and don't miss out. Find a side hustle for passive income, whatever it is that you're into right now. Why do we do that when we're actually one of the most wealthiest countries in the world as Australians? It's interesting, isn't it? Because I think what Jesus is speaking into is actually how what we treasure in our hearts. And as a people that live in a world that's so temporary, I think if you live long enough, you know that nothing we have lasts, right? I mean, most of us are adults here. We know that you buy a phone and after a few years, it starts lagging, has all these scratches, and you want a new one. You want a new shiny phone that doesn't do all those things. You know, you care less about your old phone, even though you treasured it once. And we do this with all our possessions, our new TVs, our sofa sets, our matching cabinets from IKEA. A few years later, it ends up outside on the curb for council cleanup. You know, you drive down the streets and you see all this, it looks like junk to us. But once upon a time, maybe 10 years ago or something, that stuff was treasured by people. It's amazing, isn't it, how we do these things. But we buy them, and when we buy them, we put our hope into these things. They're such treasures for us. It really puts things into perspective, doesn't it? Everything's just temporary. Everything is fading. There was a documentary a few years ago that I watched on Netflix called Minimalism. I love this documentary. It's so helpful to put things into perspective about our culture that's constantly bombarded by consumerism. Consumerism tells us we need the bigger houses. And with bigger houses, we have more bedrooms. With more bedrooms, we need to fill those bedrooms with more stuff. But why? For a family of two or three, you know, why do we need to keep buying more stuff? It's so interesting because it makes us think, like, what do we actually need these things? How about minimalizing our lifestyles because to what we actually need, what's necessary to life? And from our cars to our computers, everything depreciates. Jesus is teaching us, why do we focus so much on our stuff when earthly wealth is fleeting and unreliable? Instead, he calls us to treasure things of eternal value. Store up treasures in heaven, things that belong to the kingdom of God, which has been his really overall theme so far. Do we care about that? Are we trying to build up a bigger investment portfolio for ourselves or one in heaven? You know, we're always thinking about those things. Jesus is saying, store up for yourselves the things that can't be taken away. the peace, the fulfillment, the love and joy, that security that's on offer in Him, that comes from knowing Him, that comes from extending love to others, living out the fruit of the Spirit. And what I mean by that, if you haven't been in church for a while, fruit of the Spirit is just stuff like kindness and gentleness and patience. Jesus calls us to live these things out and to build those things up, store those things up in heaven. That's faithful living, isn't it? That's what we should be investing in. It's funny what people are investing in today. I was on the reading the news the other day, and you would have come across this too, about the guy who spent nearly $10 million on this artwork. I don't know if you guys, saw this? Marisa Catalan's duct tape banana artwork called Comedian. It sells for that much money. It's literally a banana taped on a wall. And it's ridiculous, isn't it, how much money was spent on that? I'm not an art critic, so maybe it's worth that much. I don't think it is. But some people have just too much money. Now, we look at that and we think, wow, that money could have been used to feed the poor. It could have been used to pay off my mortgage. You know, it could have been used for so many other reasons. Banana on a wall? Come on, that's all. Most of us would probably think that's a bad investment, right? I'm sure we'd all think that's a bad investment. Foolish, even. But how does Jesus see you and me and our stuff that we're investing in? When He's looking at us and we're storing up things for ourselves, what our heart is consumed by, would there be times that He's looking at us and He's thinking, man, that's not a good investment, Michael? Actually, that's actually foolish, even putting all your money into crypto or property or the possessions when our days are numbered, when you don't know if you have tomorrow even, and these are the things you're investing in. You see, I think Jesus ultimately drops this truth bomb here. You can't serve both God and money. At the bottom then, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. If your heart is focused on money and your possessions in life, then what He's saying is it's defaulting, by default, anti-God. A heart that's focused and centered upon yourself, not God. A heart that's trusting God and serving God, a heart that is trusting and serving God is one that is inherently, is one that is inherently self-serving and independent of God. The Bible is clear, you can't serve both as much as we want to justify. Jesus wants us to put our lives and our stuff and our money into perspective. Invest in the kingdom. How are you loving God? How are we loving others? How can we invest our time and energy into things of eternal significance? That's where our heart truly lies. For where our treasure is, there our heart is also, Jesus says. Let's be wise stewards of everything God has entrusted to us, using our gifts and resources to build up His kingdom, rather than fleeting pleasures of this world. We need to trust that Jesus wants good for us. Now, to mention briefly, there's a passage, the few verses there, 22 and 23, that talks about a lamp, the eyes of a lamp. I want to just mention briefly what this means. Jesus wants our eyes to be focused on heavenly things. It's essentially a perspective, have a heavenly perspective as we live this life. A good eye, the eye that brings light, is one that sees the greatest treasure is in God Himself, that He is enough and is drawn to Him and desires Him. The healthy eye sees that there is a greater master who truly can offer the peace and security, one that's eternal, one that money can't buy. That's a good eye to have the right perspective on our money and possessions. Now, I know we all need money, we all need stuff to get through life, but it's putting that into the right perspective that God is our master over those things. Now, He preempts how the people feel about this. In a world where, we're told we need multiple things, a lot of possessions, financial independence, all those sorts, it's easy to worry about these things. So He preempts that, and He goes into the next part. He says, Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body and what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Why do you worry about clothes? And see how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. That is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire. Will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? While there's a growing anxiety in our world today and social anxiety with simple everyday tasks with Gen Z, Jesus wants us to consider the common anxiety of our basic needs. We all have a common anxiety, like with what do we eat and drink and clothes to wear. He says, therefore, do not worry. Imagine if he stopped there. Don't worry, it'll be fine. Man, you get so angry, wouldn't you, with that. You feel dismissed. You know how people say, don't worry, be happy. You know, I feel better now. Thank you for saying that to me. It's not like that. Jesus doesn't do that here. He wants Christians with a healthy eye on the world to look around and see the God of provision. Do not worry. See the God of provision. The basic needs of food, drink, and clothes. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. They're fed. They're clothed. He tells us to observe the evidence in the natural world around us, the creation, and to consider how the Creator treats his creation. And us as human beings, we're the pinnacle of his creation. Jesus, I think Jesus here is thinking about Psalm 8 in the Old Testament. Psalm 8 says this, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for. You know, in the Psalm, we're reminded how human beings are the crowning piece of his creation. He treasures us as his people. I mentioned how when you buy a new phone, you're really careful with it, aren't you? You know, you put a phone case on it, you put a screen protector on it, you don't want anyone to drop it or scratch it. It's a trivial example, I know, but this is how we nurture our treasures, right? I mean, maybe a parent can understand with a newborn baby, keeping it warm, well-fed, and loved because it's vulnerable, dependent on its parents. Imagine how much more God cares for us, his creation, his people. I mean, the birds and the flowers, they don't live with worry. Yeah, I'm not sure they have those types of emotions, but the point is, God takes care of his creation, doesn't he? We can trust he'll take care of our needs too. You see, I think this is where Jesus really pinpoints it for us in this passage, in this verse. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Do you know God as your heavenly Father? Do you trust him as your heavenly Father? Yeah, I think that's the ultimate question from this passage for everyone in the room, for every Christian, when it comes to our worries and anxieties. Because no matter what we face in life, whether it's our social anxiety, our anxieties about money and finances, or anything else that might be plaguing our generation, we need to come back to this truth. We have a Father, a good Father, who is sovereign and powerful and in control, and he will take care of us. He isn't some father who's going to ignore or dismiss or reject us. He's a father who in love has created us and draws us near to him, who shows us he can be trusted and he provides for us. Not because you can look around and you got all these materialistic things, like the nice car, nice clothes, because you managed to get into the housing market. You're not blessed for those reasons. You're blessed because you have Jesus. You're blessed because he's, in his generosity and provision, he provided the greatest need for all of us, the salvation of our souls, the forgiveness of our sins, in providing his son Jesus to die for us. That's why we're blessed. That's why we can know we're cared for. The very thing that it's applicable to every individual who puts their faith in him. We all don't get the new car or the abundance in wealth. Some do in this world. But that doesn't make us more or less blessed than you and I, because Jesus himself is the greatest blessing of all. He is the provision we all need. And his death on the cross is a substitute that allows us to know God freely and to find our comfort and our peace and our security. Something the world can't offer us. Something money can't buy. We can trust God the Father and serve him as our greater master because we've received everything our soul needs in him. And see, in the next chapter, Jesus talks about God in this way. He says, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, he'll give him a snake. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Do you know him? Do you know this good Father God? Do you trust him and his provision? Do you entrust everything you have? Your money, your possessions, your friendships, your love life, your social anxieties, your deep need for security? Our anxiety about the future is rooted in a failure to trust. Our anxiety about the future is rooted in a failure to trust that God is sovereign over all these things and that he knows our needs. I think that's where a lot of our worries come from, where we fail to trust that God is sovereign. But I get it too, because I'm someone who worries a lot all the time. It's easy to be consumed by worry over what we don't have or what we might lose. It paralyzes us with fear. Yet Jesus here is calling us to shift our focus from anxiety to trust. We must remember that our ultimate security is in God's faithful care for us. Now, practically, this means we've got to take the focus off ourselves. Jesus actually wants us to focus on the kingdom of God and trust that our needs will be met in God's perfect timing and way. And so he finishes this passage here, verse 33, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Do you see Jesus' train of thought here? Don't store up treasures in heaven or serve money as your master. Do not worry about your needs or worry about tomorrow. But seek first. I mean, when you go to a cafe and usually on the signs, but first coffee, you see those signs and it's their motto. But for the Christian, this is our motto, isn't it? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Jesus closes this section with a powerful command, doesn't he? Prioritizing God in all our life, in all of life over any and every other pursuit. It doesn't say, but seek second or seek third. It says, seek first. When we seek first the kingdom, all the other things we need, provision and security and peace, it will follow. So what does it mean? It means seek first living a life centered upon the gospel, with Christ as our King, not ourselves. It means we do want to advance it. We do want to make disciples. We do want to spread the gospel. We do want to live out God's commands and of righteousness, which looks like the fruit of the Spirit or love towards others. We live out those commands and we shine his light amongst the darkness of this world in the way we live with integrity and confidence and peace. We trust him in all aspects of life and in light of the eternal life, in light of the eternal treasures in Christ. And so here's the thing. When we see God as our good Father and we focus on Christ's kingdom, the anxieties of life begin to lose their grip on us. And here's the truth that the Word of God teaches us. When we have Jesus, when we get to be part of his kingdom, the rest pales in significance. The Bible has this picture where it talks about we have a cup that is overflowing when we know God, overflowing with joy and goodness in his presence. That's what we have in Christ. And so all the new things that we buy, the things that we treasure, the gadgets, the stuff, that's just temporary in this world. It'll get old. In a few years' time, you'll want a new one. But in Christ, we have an overflowing cup, eternal treasures that will not perish or spoil. We can see our possessions and our finances in a whole different light. In Christ, it means even our social interactions are seen differently. We can be socially awkward on the phone and it's going to be okay. We can embrace sitting alone in a cafe with your coffee and just your thoughts. That's okay. Or talking to strangers without fear because it doesn't matter what they think. You have Christ. We already have his acceptance. And he's our anchor and security in our worries and anxieties. While Jesus focuses in on money in this passage, he does that, our need for financial security. I want to acknowledge today that our worries and anxieties, we extend to so many other aspects of our lives as well. Let's bring it all before the feet of the cross. Let's bring it all before him in surrender, knowing we have a good, good Father who knows our needs, who brings peace to our unsettled, anxious hearts. While many in our world look to the wisdom of social media influencers and gurus, entrepreneurs, we scroll endlessly to hope that we'll find some solution or antidote to our fears of social anxiety or fears of money or fears or whatever everyday worries we have. Jesus wants us to come and learn from his wisdom today. He teaches us, doesn't he, to reorient our hearts and minds towards greater treasures in service of a greater master, a good heavenly Father. In doing so, we'll find freedom from the anxieties that plague us. As we fix our eyes on Christ and his eternal promises, we can have a confidence to overcome those anxieties because of the joy, peace, and security Christ offers through the cross. So where is your heart? Because where your heart is, that is where your treasure is also. Entrust it all to God our Father. Let's pray. Father, help us. Help us to entrust our present and our future into your hands. Let us not be crippled with anxiety and worries when we're not in control of the outcome, but let us trust you, knowing you know our every need, and you've already provided us far more than we can ask for in giving your Son Jesus to us. Let us live with that conviction and confidence so we can face each day, seeking first your kingdom instead of our own. For the glory name of our Lord Jesus. Amen.